This is the Self-Taught or Not podcast with
Dylan Israel
and Eric Hanchett, where we teach you the do's and don'ts of software development from two software development professionals, one self-taught and one not.
Alrighty, welcome to this very special episode of Self-Taught or Not. Today, Dylan is not here. He is on vacation, so I thought I would go ahead and do a solo episode. So if you don't know, actually Dylan did a solo episode a few weeks ago. We released it, and now it's my turn to just talk to you, the listener, to whatever I think of. And actually, I do have a topic today, and the topic is colleges. I think colleges is kind of an interesting topic because I know a lot of people listening are either are thinking about going to college, have already gone to college, have dropped out of college, or somewhere in between. So it's a really interesting topic, and I think a lot of developers, this is a pivotal point at the beginning of their careers. Should you go to college? Should you not go to college? Should you get a CS degree? Should you not get a CS degree? And so there's a lot of nuance and a lot of thought that goes into that. And today I just want to talk about that with you guys for a little bit. Now, if you have been listening for a while, you may realize I already talked about college in a few other episodes. So I'm going to refer back to Season 2, Episode 10. You don't need a CS degree to be a developer, but you should you get one. That one was one between almost like just me talking about college, kind of riffing off of it, talking with Dylan. He was giving me his ideas on college. And if you understand what this podcast is about, it's called Self-Taught or Not, because I am the not version of Self-Taught or Not. I think that all of us are self-taught in some ways. I think it's impossible nowadays to have a formal education and be taught everything you need to become a programmer or developer nowadays. So I guess in some ways we're all self-taught. But if you think of it more in the traditional sense of self-taught as being someone that skipped education or higher education altogether and focused on free resources online, or did a boot camp, which I guess you could say that's a form of self-taught. That isn't me. So Dylan, his story, which I won't get into too much, but he was literally a pizza delivery guy, decided he wanted to become a programmer, created a YouTube channel, did a free code camp, which I know a lot of people who get into this crazy tech world that we're all in starts with free code camp, especially if you skip the college part. He was able to master a bunch of different skills and get his first programming job, and he's bounced around a few times since, and he's only been in the industry for 2 or 3 years, and he's already considered a senior developer. And that's what's crazy about this industry that we're in, that you don't have to have 10 plus years of experience or 5 plus years of experience to be considered senior. Now, some people who are listening right now may not agree with that. If you don't agree with it, you know, you can tweet me at EricCH. But I really think there are some people that just learn a little quicker, become a little faster, and can become a senior developer in 2 or 3 years, like Dylan. There's actually, I just reading a book the other day. This developer literally went to a coding boot camp two and a half years ago, and now is a senior developer at Amazon. I think his name is Swissix. SWSX. So it's crazy how fast people in this world, in our tech industry, can move on. Now, I think there is definitely value to having a long career in tech because you start seeing patterns after a while. If you've been working in any sort of industry for a while, you'll start seeing, wow, you know, this is a common problem. I need to talk to a server. I mean, the API, the REST standards haven't changed in many, many, many years. So if you've had that exposure, that's going to help you in the future. If you've worked a back-end job, if you've done the full stack, if you've worked in Java or Rails or .NET or Node, and you've built server endpoints, that's going to help you. So as you kind of progress in your career, having experience is definitely extremely important, but it doesn't mean someone can't become a senior developer in 2 or 3 years. Anyways, so that's a little bit of Dylan's history. He went from being pizza delivery guy to a senior developer in a few years. And he really relied on, you know, just grinding away, working really hard, and trying to understand how to become a developer. And he had a few, probably, I would say, lucky breaks. I don't know if he would call them lucky breaks, but he was able to get that first job, which is almost certainly the most difficult. I think he said he submitted hundreds, if not thousands, of resumes all over the U.S., was willing to travel anywhere so he can get his first developer job, and he was definitely able to get that. And I think he even moved to Florida all the way from L.A. to do that. On the other hand, I'm the not version of the self-taught or not, because I graduated high school, I'm dating myself here, at the end of the early 2000s, and I, you know, it was kind of near the dot-com bust, not many people were hiring, and just with a high school degree, I was having a very difficult time getting a job. Now, this is, if you picture back in the early 2000s, this is before the dot-com, or excuse me, before Free Code Camp, before YouTube, before a lot of things. So it wasn't easy to get the same skills that you can get now. I mean, there's definitely was some resources online that I can look up how to learn how to program. But, you know, a lot of it was me, like, actually getting books and going to the bookstore and going to the library and renting books to find out how to do the latest and greatest things in the web. And it was a lot different back then. So, you know, with just a high school education, I'm 22, 23 years old. I'm looking around. All the big corporations and companies in my town, they almost all of them specifically said on their job sites that they required a college degree. And some of them said or equivalent, and most likely, and most of them said computer science degree preferred, and a lot of them said master's degree preferred. So it was very difficult for me to even think of, like, how am I going to apply for any of these places when they specifically say in the job app that you need to have a college education and preferred computer science, or if you have equivalent in work experience. But I didn't have any of that, of course, back then, because I was literally coming out of high school and I didn't have any of that. So I felt like the only choice I had at the time was to get a computer science degree. And I'm glad I did. You know, I went to school right out of high school, dropped out, wasn't ready, did some tech support for a while. But then I realized that I really wanted to get that degree, and I went back to school, and I took 4 years, probably close to five, but I finally got that degree, that computer science degree, and it gave me the confidence, and it gave me that checkbox that allowed me to start applying for these places, which I didn't feel comfortable for applying for, and it definitely opened some doors, some places that I knew I wouldn't even have a chance to get a interview were giving me interviews. I didn't have to send out thousands and thousands of resumes. You know, I send, you know, a dozen, a half a dozen, and I was able to get a job pretty quickly. You know, I had some pretty terrible interviews along the way. I admit, I remember one in particular I've mentioned on this podcast a few times where I'd gone in. It was an all-day interview with three or four different groups. I had to do whiteboarding, which I thought I did okay, but they pointed out one thing I didn't do right. They asked me SQL statements, and I barely knew anything about SQL at the time. And, you know, at the end of it, I felt exhausted, and I didn't get the job. And it was just like that terrible feeling. It's like, whoa, I actually have to study for these interviews. Like, just having a degree isn't enough. So even then, I kind of struggled for a while. So, I mean, it was definitely a journey for me, but having that computer science degree was a big boon and a big help. Now, I don't think that my program, I went to the University of Nevada, Reno, I don't think it was perfect in any shape or form. You know, they still used, I know a lot of universities had moved over to Python or Java, but they were still teaching C++ at the time, which even in the mid-2000s was a little bit of an old language. I mean, it was newer than the old, what they used to call ANCC, which is an even older one. At least C++ had an object-oriented programming concepts inside of it. They actually had classes. But it was still, you know, wasn't perfect, but they did have some elective classes that some grad students taught. Like, they had one on version control. I know some people say, I've heard of computer science graduates coming out of programs saying, like, I don't know anything I'm supposed to know before I go into my first job. I don't even know how to use version control. Well, I knew how to use version control. There was a group of us that were doing side projects. A lot of us were doing internships. A lot of us were kind of working really hard, learning a lot of things we weren't learning at school. And then we were talking to friends that were doing neat things. Like we had friends that were creating little apps. Some people were really into web development. And then there was also grad students that were teaching interesting classes. So there was a lot of electives. And one of them was like on version control. I think I remember doing one on Python and one on a few other languages. So if you kind of worked really hard and did your normal classes and then worked harder outside of school, you were learning just as much as these people who were, you know, quote unquote, just self-taught and just working by themselves, trying to learn everything themselves. I mean, other opportunities was I got to work on an internship at a Fortune 500 company, which would not have happened unless I had that computer science degree. Now, some of me wishes if I could go back in time that I would have really focused on more internships, because I only did that my senior year, but I wish on my junior, even my sophomore year, I would have applied for Microsoft or Facebook, or even Facebook back then, even though in the mid-2000s, I think probably back then they were looking for interns, I'm not sure. But there's still quite a few companies that were looking for interns, and that's one thing I wish I would have done more. Also, I joined the Association of Computer and Machinists. So I was the vice president of that. I was offered to do be president of it, and I declined it. And I helped put on programming contests and things like that. So all these little things I did, doing the internship, you know, being a part of the ACM, the Association of Computer Machinists Club, you know, talking to other students as an undergraduate and trying to be more involved, definitely, I think, made me stand out a little bit more and made me understand a lot of the other things that were happening. Now, web development wasn't as huge as it was back then. I remember a lot of us were talking about, you know, doing back-end development, and now I think a lot of people coming out of school love web development, and they want to do that. I guess you can say that web development encompasses back-end development, but maybe more like hardware development was a little bit bigger at my school because we were connected to a couple of large companies that made slot machines, because we were in Reno, Nevada, and if you know anything about Nevada, it's a lot about gambling and gaming. So our university was closely tied into some of the gaming companies, and the gaming companies used this embedded hardware. So there was a few classes, like you could learn this embedded hardware, and that was part of our curriculum. But I enjoyed my college experience. I think it really helped shape who I am today, and it really opened up some doors. It was hard though. It wasn't an easy 4 years by any stretch of the imagination. So I guess that's all to say that, you know, if you go the self-taught route or you go to the traditional college route, you know, there is a huge difference, but I think the college route is, I think oftentimes if you look at tech Twitter and you look at a lot of forums out there, it has a pretty negative spin. I think college in general has a pretty negative spin. And in other words, a lot of people are discouraging students from going to college. I see a lot of people online that discourage kids to go to college at all, discourage kids to do computer science curriculum or to get a computer science degree. And I think it's a lot about, and maybe rightfully so, and sometimes, that it's adding these gates. Some people call it like we're gatekeeping. So instead of having, you know, letting everyone and anyone get into this field and become a programmer, the old guard, by some people imagine, is that you have to go to a 4-year traditional college, you have to graduate with a computer science degree, and that's the only way to become a developer. And what's great about this industry you're in, we don't have like certifications or anything that stops people from getting into our field. We don't have to take a fundamental of engineering exam, for example, that maybe you have to do in other fields. So anyone can become a developer if they put their time and effort in learning the skills and what they need. And it's to the point now that a lot of employers are recognizing that. They see actually a lot of these people who don't have the traditional educations as much cheaper alternatives than people who do have the traditional educations. So a lot of companies think, hey, I can hire either like a self-taught developer, that's just trying to get his foot in the door for $30,000 a year. Sometimes they're paying him like $12 or $13 an hour, I've heard. Or I can get this guy who has a computer science degree and get him $60,000 or $70,000 a year. So I would much rather go with a self-taught guy and pay him $30,000. And now I'm talking about USD here. If you're in Canada or around the world, that's, you know, it might vary. But I think that's kind of the thought of is like, we need developers. We can get self-taught people. They're a lot cheaper. Let's hire them. And you know, that's, I don't think that, I think I'm kind of mixed feelings on it all, I guess I should say. I am super glad that, I know part of my YouTube channel is teaching people how to become a programmer, how to become really good at JavaScript and Vue.js, which is a framework I love. And if you can take my videos and watch my stuff and, you know, other YouTube channels and do free code camp and all the free stuff out there and land yourself a job, maybe you can even get a job getting like $50,000, $60,000 a year. I don't think that's on average. You're not going to get that much right out of with no degree or anything. But if you can kind of get your foot in the doorway and start your career, I am super happy about that. Like, that's really cool that you can do that. And plus, it gives more diverse, it makes our industry more diverse. And I think that's great, too. We just have different opinions and different minds and different ways of people getting there. And that's good. On the other hand, college, and if we go by averages, and I know people don't like to talk about statistics and averages, I was just looking this up today, see if anything changed, but I found a Business Insider article, and there's tons of these, that talks about college grads still earn more than workers with no university degrees. This map shows the states with the widest salary gaps. So literally, on average, like, for example, in the state of Nevada, people with college educations out-earn the people without college educations by 63% in Nevada. In California, it's 133%. In New York, it's 103%. In Texas, it's 98%. Even in the lowest states, it's like 30 or 40%. And so it feels like to me that this whole movement of people, you know, spouting out, yeah, you don't need a degree. You don't need to go to college. You could just self-teach. There's going to be a small minority of people like Dylan, like that Swizzix guy I was talking about before, and some handful of people that come out of these boot camps that are going to do amazingly well. And they're just going to be at the top of their class, and they're going to be amazing developers, and they're going to, you know, go on to do great things and honestly be much better developer than I am. Like, some of these guys are just insanely amazing. And I've worked with developers without a college education that was just really amazing. And usually, in my workplace, having a college education doesn't determine how well of a programmer or developer you are. It's all about the experience, how you approach problems, how much time and effort you put in, how your brain works and puzzle solving and logic solving that makes you a good developer and programmer. If you do things like testing and TDD and things like that, I think that could help you become a better programmer and developer. On the other hand, the stats say that most people who don't go to college earn less than people who do go to college. And it feels like that there's a small minority, maybe not small, maybe it's a good chunk, I don't know, that can do it the self-taught route or without a college education. But on average, most people make less without a college education. So the stats don't lie there. I mean, and I've been told that since I was a kid. You know, there's been hundreds of articles and thousands of studies on this, and just over and over again, people who don't have a college degree, a four-year college degree, you know, on average earn less than people with a college degree. And maybe this is going to be something of the past. I hope in maybe 30 years, there are just so many self-taught developers and so many boot camp grads that come out that they dwarf the amount of people graduating from CS degrees, and that it's flipped, that most people without a college degree are making just as much as people with college degrees. But the facts don't state that. So it just makes me wonder, like, if I have kids, that if they came to me and said, hey, Dad, I want to become a developer, what should I do? And first off, I'm always thinking, like, you know, especially if you're listening right now and you kind of want to become a programmer, you're not really sure. First, I mean, part of going to college is kind of learning what you want to learn and trying to test things out and see if you like different things. And I've had many friends that have went to college and switched majors several times. It's not uncommon to find out what you like. And I've seen a lot of I've heard of a lot of people who went to college, started the computer science track, switched to like English or something else because computer science is a really difficult degree to get. And then later on in life, after they graduated, still went into computer science because they couldn't actually get through the computer science classes for one reason or another. Maybe it wasn't their fault at all. Maybe they just, you know, had bad professors or something. But they ended up getting to college. They ended up later on getting into programming development. So I'm thinking, like, I would probably recommend someone to go, and especially my kids, to go to college first. Even though there's quite a few things negative about college that if you go on tech Twitter, people hate. And I would probably say try the computer science degree. Because if they didn't go to college at all, it's likely that if they start trying to learn programming and or development and they decide they don't like it halfway through, then they're kind of stuck and now they have to kind of decide, well, maybe do I go to college now or maybe I do something else? And it's a good possibility that they won't make as much as if they just went to college and got that four-year degree and then left and then had at least a degree, maybe not even a computer science degree, but a degree. But statistically, they're probably going to make more money. Now, money isn't everything, but it certainly can affect your life in dramatic ways by having a good college education. So that's kind of the thought process I have is, like, why not get a college degree, especially if you're earlier in your life, just because of all the benefits? Now, I know some of you are screaming into your computer right now or your phone saying, Eric, why? There's tons of problems with colleges. Have you heard of the time investment that it takes? You know, you're taking away at least 4, if not 5, 6 years of your life going to college where you could have been self-taught and grinding away at free code camp, and you could have got a job in a year just by doing that. And then there's a lot of people are saying, well, what about the money? You know, these colleges charge an arm and a leg. I'm going to do $10,000, $20,000 a semester, and student loans, they're predatory and they're going to come after me. And you know, if I tell my son or if I'm looking to go into college, I'm going to have to pay these back. And you can't. And one thing is, if you go bankrupt, you still have to pay back student loans. And, they're going to teach us a bunch of topics not related to my job. So there's a lot of negatives people say about college, but, you know, you could do it the right way. First, if you're still in high school, I wish someone told me this, but if you work really hard, there's tons of scholarships, here in Nevada, we have something called the Millennium Scholarship that literally pays for almost your whole education. And all you have to do is maintain over like a 3.2 GPA in your high school, and then it'll pay for most of your college. And that's if you assume you're going to a state college. So there's tons of things like that out there. There is loans that you can get. Now, there is bad loans that are predatory, that aren't good. But doing some research on what loans you can take is not a bad idea. That make sure you obviously don't get into too much debt going into it. There's also schools that are looking for people that, you know, are minorities or people that have traumatic things happened in their life, and they would love to give you a free education or help heavily subsidize your education if you come from those backgrounds. And I think that also if you do get student loans, working, helping to do a few things on there, going to a community college first, maybe your first 2 years, you go to a community college, and they are dirt cheap, at least here in the United States. And by the way, I'm not talking to you people in the UK and in Australia or anywhere else that has either close to free education for higher education. I'm talking to the US people right now. But if you can go to like a 2 years of community college and see what credits can transfer over to your 4-year college, that's a perfect way to do it. You'll pay a fraction of the price. They're super, super cheap. You can work a part-time job at McDonald's and go to community college for your first 2 years, and you'll probably have enough to live off of. Maybe you'll have to live with your parents, but you can do things like that. And then when you transfer into your school, you know, you should, I worked the whole time I was at school. I think my dad paid for maybe one semester or two semester school, and I paid for the rest. So I did two things. One is I worked part-time while I went to school. I think my GPA suffered a little bit, but I think it was worth it. I was living on my own. I was paying for school. I also tried inside my work. They had like tuition reimbursement program. If you can work for a company that has a tuition reimbursement program that offers it to part-time workers, that is amazing. And you might have to look around a little bit, but that'll help you pay for your school completely. So a lot of things like that helped me get out of school with very little debt. I still had like $10,000 in debt when I graduated, but you know, I was able to pay it off in 2 or 3 years. Once you're making like, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year, it's much easier to pay off those loans. So I think that was it. And the time investment part, I always thought like, I'm gonna work in programming in some way while I'm going to school. So it's not that big of an investment. I'm learning and studying at the same and going to school. And I think that really, really helped me. And, you know, just to touch on the lots of topics might not be related to your job. That's pretty much true. I mean, it's hard to get away from the core curriculum that a lot of institutions put in place that you have to know. You may have to like have a certain amount of history or English. I think some of those things are definitely helpful, like English, like being able to write and read. We kind of joked around in our college episode that there's so many people that that work at these different workplaces who have just, they can't write anything. Their emails are filled with typos and, you know, sentences that are not correct. And you could just, it just looks really unprofessional when people email. And Dylan was joking around saying he wasn't a good speller, but he uses things like C-Spell and other plugins and add-ons to make sure that he spells correctly in his emails. And I think that's all good and great, but just being able to write is probably very, very important, and something that high school probably doesn't do much for to help you, and something you can learn going to college. I think I didn't become a better writer until I wrote a book. And just learning the book writing process and all the little mistakes I had after having a proofreader go through the different parts of the book. I'm like, oh, I should probably put more commas at these different places, or this is a run-on sentence, or, you know, things like that that you just don't get used to unless you're taking college classes or you're writing a book, in my case. All those things really helped. So I think that's a few reasons why to still go to school, even though there is a few negatives. And a couple of questions I have when people that I've heard about college, like, should I go to a cheap in-state college? Should I go to a better out-of-state college? And I think that really depends on the financial situation that you are in and how well you did in like your high school. So if you are top of your class of high school and you can apply to one of these larger education places, a better school in essence, and they can help either with a combination of scholarships and loans that you can go to it, I think it's not a bad idea to be able, and hopefully maybe if you have your parents help you pay too, to go to a better school. Now, a better school is subjective, of course, but if you look up stats and like News and Review generally has some pretty good stats on different education, different colleges. I generally think it's better to go to better programs as long as it's financially wise for you. If the only way you can go to Harvard, well, let me take a step back. If there's a college you want to go to and it's like crazy expensive, like $50,000, $100,000 a semester, and you're going to have to foot that whole bill yourself, and you're going to have to take a tremendous amount of loans, I don't think it's worth it. On the other hand, if you can find a better school and you can afford it and you're not going to not take out hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans, I think it is worth it, because the level of education is important, but also you're just going to be running into more people that that are going to be better for context for you in the future. So if you can run into people who and go to school with people who have a broad amount of contacts and who have different life experiences from you and may be able to help you in the future, those people are going to be invaluable in your career. They're going to be the difference between you landing a job at your local software company in town, making $30,000 or let's say $50,000 or $60,000 a year, and working for, you know, a top tier banking company or SaaS, making over, you know, two times that. So if you generally, the network that you build in school is very valuable, and if you go to a much more prestigious school, that will help you in the long term. Now, some people might disagree with that, but that's kind of my thought process in it. I would also look at things like the acceptance rates of the school, the alumni network. I would check out the curriculum and how well of a CS curriculum they have. You just really need to kind of keep that all in mind. Now, if you do go to a better school or any school, you're going to have to look at the requirements, what tests you might have to take, a few tests to get into different schools. I can't remember what it is nowadays, GMAT or GRE, but you have to maybe take a few tests that you'll need to test on, and it's going to be a process to get in, but I think it's well worth just going to a better school. And keep in mind that the computer science curriculum in most schools is pretty difficult. It's not just computer science classes. You're not going to be doing, you know, web development classes. You're going to take things like physics, calculus. There's going to be some really high-end electronics class. I've heard of people going into the CS degree thinking that, you know, acing their high school classes, thinking they can just kind of sail through college. And most people can't. This is a pretty difficult degree. A lot of engineering degrees, computer science being one of them, is a difficult degree for most people, and it's not one of those that you can easily slide through. Now, I know this field is kind of expanding too. When I went to school, we had computer science, computer engineering, and they had almost the same classes, but the computer engineering track had a couple of extra electronics classes. I think nowadays there's CS, there's CSE, there's IT, there is CIT, Computer Information Systems, which is mostly like in the business. I would take a look at whatever school you're going to and look at the engineering track and make sure it's in the engineering department, because anything outside the engineering department, it's not really a CS degree. It's not going to be a CS degree. It's not going to really teach you the fundamentals of. It's not going to teach you the fundamentals you need. And that's kind of what I think about that. So I think I'm going to move on from just talking about how to get into the school and what you should look for to a couple of stories. There was an article on dev.to, which is a website for people to kind of post whatever they want. They can post their stories, their tutorials, anything they want. And a couple years ago, someone asked if college was worth it. And this is specifically mentioning, you know, people wanting to get web development degrees and or get into computer science and become a web developer and things like that. And here are a few answers I saw that were interesting. So Lindsay Kopax mentioned, "I quite enjoyed college and wouldn't take it back. There's a but, though. But you cannot expect it to fix how employable you are. When I was in high school, going to an expensive school was advertised with prestige about the jobs you'll get after college. Most places do not care where you went to school, at least in our field. And the amount of debt students have taken on for this quote-unquote guaranteed good job is really toxic in my opinion. I think college is worth it. I don't think it's worth going to a massive debt amounts of debt for." So I agree with the last part. I don't think it's worth going to college if you know that you're going to have to take tons of loans. If there's any way you can go to college by using scholarships or special programs that, you know, make it free or less expensive, I am all for that. Or, like I said, going to the track of going to a community college first and then going to a college, you maybe only spend 2 years instead of the 4 years. That can significantly decrease the amount of money you pay, especially if you go to in-state versus out-of-state colleges. So I agree with her there. I don't 100% agree with Most places do not care where you went to school, at least in our field, and the amount of debt students have taken on for this guaranteed job is really toxic. So the most people do not care what school you went to. I would say that's not necessarily true, because I know definitely there is quite a few places who will look at the students that are coming in and what kind of diverse backgrounds they have, what colleges they went to, and that is definitely a part of the admission process or the job seeking process, especially when you're looking at a handful of resumes for an entry level job, and you have some people from a state college and you may have some people from MIT or Harvard. I would say most HR people are going to look at the most prestigious schools and put those on top of the stack. Unfortunately, that's just the way it is, and I don't think that's any different in our field. People do judge a book by its cover, so to speak. So people do judge a resume by what it has on it and the place. And if you have no work experience, your college is going to be important and something people are going to look at. Just like if you don't have any experience at all, but maybe you have a GitHub, so maybe the projects you've done is going to be helping you with getting into college. So that's my take there. I, you know, somewhat agree and somewhat disagree. Here is another story I found. This one is by Kayla. So, I think college was worth it as a socially and professionally allowed buffer between high school and white-collar work, which allowed me the time to figure out what direction to go. My high school was rural. There was no internet or talk of people working in computers. I needed to get away from that. I also think it would be worth it sometime. I think it would be worth it to someone post-high school age to mark off the checkbox during the hiring process for a large company that requires degrees. I don't think it's made me a better thinker or gave me a better view on the world than if I had taken a quote-unquote gap 4 years instead. Like, I took classes that showed me I would hate actuarial science, but I could have learned that by Googling for a while instead of failing theory of interest. So many people in tech have art degrees or math degrees. Hi, that had no coding components at all, but checked the box to allow them a job as a programmer, or no engineering degree, but you need a degree to be a software engineer. So I don't think the worth it in the context of the education, but more so, one, you committed to something and you did it, and two, it's a metric to allow for judging candidates who all appear equal. Like, it's hard to go to a 7 a.m. class of BS that's in no way related to your profession. It's also hard to go to a 7 a.m. meeting of BS that's no way affects your job, but you're required invite in case someone asks you a question. The college degree can be a signal that you can push through the BS to get a goal, and since most jobs are mostly tedious, that can be an important factor to recruiters. Mainly, and here this is in quotes, or in parentheses, mainly added this paragraph to say I'm not against recruiters requiring degrees, but I would like there to be thought behind why, and the experience should be seen equal to education if the skill level is the same. It's a complicated question with complicated answers. Kayla. So it's kind of interesting. I've heard this argument before. Like, people don't think that the education necessarily is what separates you from someone with a degree and without a degree, because people tend to think, I think people undervalue education from college a lot of times, but they at least say, well, maybe employers should look at you being able to be committed to something and did it. And two, it's a metric to allow for judging candidates who all appear equal. So if you see someone that went through a four-year college and someone that didn't go to a four-year college, you could be like, well, the guy that went through the four-year college, they were able to go through that and accomplish something at the end, while, you know, this guy didn't. And I think that's kind of a funny way to think about it, but it's true, as I suppose. It is true that people who kind of struggle with commitment and getting through things are less desirable than someone who actually completes something. I think that it's also in a cop out in a way. I've heard of this before in the past, where they're in college in general, and a lot of colleges have 40% dropout rates. And I think in the computer science, especially in the computer science field in schools, I think half the people, more than half, drop out. Either that, drop out, or change majors. So it is really is an accomplishment when you actually get to the end of it and you can say, hey, I actually got a CS degree. I wasn't one of the people that dropped out. So I could see being proud in that moment of being like, wow, I actually did this, because most people can't or won't, and for one reason or not. So I think we should see people who, you know, accomplish something. I agree with that. You should, you know, give them the props for actually finishing something. Let's do one more and we'll wrap this up. So here's another one from this thread. I quite enjoyed college and wouldn't take it back. There's a but, though. But you cannot expect it to fix how employable you are. When I was in high school, going to an expensive school was advertised with prestige about the jobs you'll get after college. Most places do not care where you went to school, at least in our field. And the amount... Okay, this is the same one I just read. Let me see here. Hold on. Let me double check. I think I'm reading the same one twice. Yeah, sorry. Sorry there for the listeners. I just read the same one twice because it was on my notes the wrong way. So let me see if I can find one I haven't read. Let's see here. Okay, here's one from a user named Ghost. I loved university. I don't miss the intense status anxiety, especially among post-grads, where there are some seriously bitchy, jealous dynamics. He's lecturing, but he's only got a master's, or first-year students are always so lazy, etc. And plenty of personalities who took refuge in academia because they lacked the empathy or EQ to get jobs in industry, to be honest. However, I found it a joy to sit in lectures with real-life professional computer scientists who I admired, to have morning tea in the lecturer's lounge. Yes, they were cool and loved having bushy-tailed students wanting to pick their brains over the things at break time, and believe it or not, to browse the literature in the library. I actually read Turing's paper, tried it too. Turing is like a pretty... By the way, this is not in this thing, but Turing is a big thing in the computer science world. We have a lecturer by the name of Professor Tad Takoka, who would challenge us with things like optimizing heap sort by 15%, or Dijkstra's, and we all would lose perspective and go on this nutty case. I remember doing this all night when charging upstairs to his office at 9 a.m., Tad, is this it? No, you missed this case. Heady stuff, man. Good buzz. There was diversity too, way more than in industry. It was super expensive and took a part-time job to stay afloat and minimize debt. It was all on me. But it was a force feeding of some heavy concepts I couldn't have taught myself. I'd do it again. Maybe not at this age, though. Haha. So this kind of interesting idea that if you are in university, it's a lot about what you put in. If you just go to the classes and you don't pay attention to the professors, I mean, still, with computer science, I'm going to say it's really hard to slide through. You're going to have to work your butt off to get a degree, definitely. But if you put in a little extra effort, get to know your professors. A lot of these people have been in academia for a while, but they have a lot of knowledge. A lot of them have been in academia. I've seen a lot, though, that have worked at, you know, top-tier tech companies that decided to teach afterwards. And so they have a lot to teach. They have a lot to teach you. And if you can kind of talk to them outside of your class hours and really go above and beyond, you can learn a whole lot. And those are going to be, you know, invaluable skills in your career. All right. So that's all I have to say. I mean, I think this was kind of more of a ranty episode, but in all, you know, college, you know, gets a bad rap, but I think, you know, it's not a bad way to go for most people. It really isn't. You know, it's a very good way to, you know, get some education, get some thought, meet some really interesting people and network and, you know, really push yourself. And it really helps with landing that first job. It shows that you're able to complete something where most 99, you know, I would say, you know, 85% of people, 99% of people are going to fail and not going to be able to do. So, you know, I really think it's not a bad field and it's not a bad way to go. And this is nothing to say that, you know, there's some amazing self-taught developers, there's some amazing bootcamp developers, but I think we should all think about college a little bit more, especially if you're younger. All right, so that's all I have today.
Hey guys, thanks for watching. If you want to find more about what I'm up to, go to dylanisrael.com.
And if you want to know what I'm up to, you can check out my website at eric.video. If you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It really helps us out. And if you do, you might even be featured on our next episode. Don't forget to check out the website at selftaughtornot.com. From there, you can sign up for a mailing list where we give away free courses and a bunch of cool stuff. And we'll also let you know when the next episode comes out. And finally, if you didn't know, we have a Facebook group. It's called Code, Tech, and Caffeine. We have over 10,000 members, and you can find the link at selftaughtornot.com. So come join us. We have tons of developers willing to help you guys, mentor you guys. Check it out. Just make sure you go to selftaughtornot.com and check out the Code, Tech, and Caffeine link. Thanks, and take care.